God's Word for You, 1 Chronicles 28. Beginning today, we're finishing the chapter, but beginning just with verse 19. David said, "All this I have in writing from the hand of the Lord upon me, to give me understanding and all the details of the plan." In this remarkable verse, David describes the act of divine inspiration. For Moses, the first inspired writing prophet, there were two or three separate actions God used to give his word to his prophet. First, God actually wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger in stone. That's in Exodus 31:18. Second, God told Moses precisely what to say as he gave commands to Israel in his moral law, ceremonial law, and civil law. We have descriptions of that in Exodus 24:4 and 39:43. And third, Moses wrote down the history of God's people from creation to the eve of their entrance into Canaan, breathed by the Holy Spirit, working through the words and grammar of Moses. And God continues to work through that word even today, which was written by the Holy Spirit through Moses as Genesis through Deuteronomy. And Moses cites this in Deuteronomy 32, 45 to 47. Jesus does it in John 1, 45. Other prophets talk about the word of the Lord coming to them. Isaiah 38, 4, Jeremiah 1, 2, Ezekiel 1, Jonah 1, and so on. Sometimes the Lord actually spoke aloud to his prophets. Hosea says, "The Lord said to me," Hosea 3:1. Other times an angel delivered a message to be proclaimed. Zechariah says, "The angel who was speaking to me said, 'Proclaim this word, this is what the Lord says,'" and so on, Zechariah 1:14. Still other times, other means might be employed. "During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision," Daniel 2:19. There's something like that in Obadiah 1. Certainly other things, such as public records about God's people and the account of their context, as we have in Ezra 4, Esther 9, Acts 23, have been accepted as the inspired word of God according to its inclusion in the text of the Bible. In our verse, David talks about having the hand of the Lord upon him. We don't need to insist that it was the Moses 1 or the Moses 2 or 3 type of inspiration, since the result was the same, but the impulse to bring the ark to Jerusalem and to build a new house for the Lord was clearly David's idea. But the Lord modified and approved of David's thought. It was still the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, for these plans that are recorded here. Were the blueprints themselves and the other parts of the plan inspired by God? Could it be that there was an inspired text, therefore, that is lost? This doesn't concern us, because it was not for the building up of the church for all time, but simply for the moment in which it was given. Now, Jesus, the Word incarnate, said a great many things during his life and ministry that are not written down for us, but these are written, the contents of the four Gospels, that you may believe, John says. That's John 20, verse 31. Therefore, whether or not David and Solomon refers to these plans as the word of God or the word from God does not matter. We know that God approved of what David designed and that Solomon built. The structure will not be rebuilt and would be of no use to God's people today, since the sacrifices have come to an end and the gospel is no longer to be sought in one place only, as the Lord commanded in Deuteronomy 12, 13, and 14. But God's people are commanded to take the word out into the world and proclaim it everywhere, Matthew 28 and Mark 16, 15. Verses 20 and 21. David also said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. The divisions of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work on the house of God, and every willing man who has skill in any craft will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey every command you give." Well, David encouraged his son by telling him that God was with him. Second, everything was already prepared. The plan, the design, the divisions were all accounted for. Third, the people would help him do whatever needed to be done. This public encouragement to Solomon, David's son, was also an encouragement and a command for the nation to help their new king. Israel had asked Samuel for a king, and God gave them Saul. When Saul failed, God chose David. Now God had chosen Solomon. It was the people's duty under the fourth commandment to pray for their new monarch and to give him whatever help and service he required of them. Some would be needed as soldiers. Others would be craftsmen. Others would be blacksmiths, painters, carpenters, weavers, tinkers, road builders, herdsmen, farmers, and many other things. In Luther's Small Catechism, there's a long paragraph in the Table of Duties that is usually omitted from modern translations. Between paragraph 4, governing authorities, and paragraph 6, husbands, there was paragraph 5, duties subjects owe to governing authorities. And there the Catechism includes many passages from Matthew, Romans, Titus, and 1 Peter, and also this from Paul, which certainly applies to us. Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, which is simply a quote from 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Just as God gave Israel its kings, so also he gives us our mothers and fathers, mayors, policemen, judges, congressmen, governors, presidents and vice presidents, whether we privately like them or not, whether we agree or disagree with their policies or not, and even whether or not we are privately horrified and repulsed by an individual leader's words, crimes, or lifestyle, we owe them the same duties of respect, and we should pray for them and thank God for them. He provides us with everything we need for our good, just as he works to fulfill every good purpose and intent of ours prompted by our faith. Praise God, therefore, and give him glory and thanks for all his gifts. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.